The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. What a Friday it is. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bill. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. We appreciate you taking us in this morning. Always happy to be part of your mornings. Live from Bar Canada at the D, Kelly Bidlin with a quarter zip. That was the sartorial choice this morning. How you doing?
It's pouring outside, man. Pouring.
Is it pouring or pouring? How do you say it?
Pouring.
Yeah, I go pouring, and I get a lot of flack for that.
Wait, I don't hear the difference.
You're
purring like a cat.
No, I'm more like pouring a drink. You're more like a pour of the skin. Yeah. It's a big debate. Big debate around.
Okay, so that's definitely that. I hear what you're saying. That is definitely two words I say exactly the same way.
Okay, all right. Just checking. I didn't think we'd start there, but that's where we are. College basketball. What a day. What a week. Dallin Cuff from ESPN and ESPN's Daily Wager will join us to discuss that as well. As will Chris Velika from Fox Sports. He's got some college hoops thoughts. Horse race. He's here for the horse racing handicapping contest.
I'm so like
National Horse Players Championship.
Intrigued slash pumped by that. Like, kind of want to go, but not really sure if I'm allowed. Oh, you know what I mean? Like,
there's nothing to see.
Like, would I be immediately bored within like 11 minutes?
Yeah, 11. I'm gonna go 4. Jason Weingarten, Ben Wilson. Oh, now we're talking. The great Benny Wilson will be here. Talk college hoops. Maybe extract some college baseball thoughts from him as well. Since he's on the college baseball call, we'll replay his call from the Stephen F. Austin game the other night.
Oh,
Abilene
we will.
Christian, get his reaction.
He made the Today Show. I mean, Today Show, but the highlight made the Today Show.
Big time,
I don't know how many times you've been on the Today Show. I've been on the Today Show.
Let me think about that. it's going to be a zero.
Yeah.
It's going to be a zero. College hoops yesterday. We don't often do this where we go through every single game on the docket today and just give you the implications in terms of not only what the spreads are, but really who are the long shots still alive in each tournament, who last four in, last four out, next four out, those kind of implications on the heels of a day that saw Creighton go down, Duke go down, SC, who was a big sort of sexy long shot, went down hard yesterday. Not a lot of, who do you trust in all this? UConn, that's the list for me. That's absolutely the list. All right, so today, 36 basketball games strewn through, a plethora of conferences who are either in the quarters or in the semis. Let's do it just in alphabetical order. The American are in the quarters today. And, man, do they have a lot of long shots alive. East Carolina, an 80-1 shot to win this tournament. 7.5-point dogs against South Florida. Wichita State is a 90-1 dog pre-flop to win this tournament. The Shockers, 5.5-point dogs to UAB, who, by the way, in their own right, were 16-1 long shots to win this tournament. North Texas has taken on FAU. FAU is a 5.5-point favorite. FAU was the short shot to win this tournament at +185. And then Temple, 500-1. Pardon me, 500-1 in this tournament against Charlotte. Temple, not the longest shot in this tournament, Kelly, but the longest shot to have implications of shenanigans with points. And
yeah, won big last night, right?
Odds. Temple 500-1 in the quarters to win this tournament. Come on, Owls.
I feel like I should have bet them like twice already. Maybe I'll get involved today.
ACC semis. One of Joe Lenardi's last four out. Pitt, 12-1 shot to win this tournament. Going up against Carolina. Carolina, the short shot to win it at +150. Carolina's the 7.5-point favorite. NC State, the Wolfpack. As the vacuum begins, NC State 100-1 to win this tournament. The Wolfpack, 3.5-point dogs against Virginia. The Hoos are one of Lenardi's last four in. They were 19-1 themselves to win the ACC tournament. So a lot of implications there. Virginia making their case. Pitt trying to make their case in terms of getting into the big dance. A lot of people think NC State's going to win this game outright against Virginia, get to the ACC finals here. Big East semis, St. John's versus UConn. UConn, of course, big 9.5-point favorite. They were -135. Of course, the favorite to win the Big East tournament. And Providence, one of the last four out from Joe Lenardi. Providence trying to make their case to get to the big dance. They're 60-1, by the way, pre-flop to win the Big East tournament. They're 4.5-point dogs against Marquette. Speaking of some of these teams, we're going to be, I know we said we weren't going to update the championship formula till Monday again last time. We'll kind of say it here in the next segment. We'll kind of go to the championship formula.
I thought it was good at the end of this week to hit.
Yeah, because it's got some changes. Mm-hmm. Championship formula already. Big Ten quarters today. Michigan State against Purdue. Purdue was the short shot, of course, to win this tournament at even money. They're 7.5-point favorites against Tom Izzo's Sparties. Wisconsin, Northwestern. Wisconsin's 15-1 to win this tournament pre-flop. Northwestern was 16-1. The Badgers are 3.5-point favorites here. These are the quarters in the Big Ten, of course. Ohio State, speaking of Lunardi implications, they were a next four out team here. And they are a next four out team. The Buckeyes, 35-1 pre-flop to win the Big Ten tournament. They're 4.5-point dogs against the Illini today. A lot of people love Ohio State, as the vacuum is now in my left ear. Indiana 80-1. Maybe it's going to go on the table, Kelly, right after this. Indiana 80-1. By the way, it doesn't usually pierce my bubble, but this is so close. Indiana 80-1 to win this tournament pre-flop against Nebraska today. That's the final quarter.
We're going to make sure you get a haircut live on the air next segment.
Huskers are 3.5-point favorites in that ballgame. Big 12 semis, Texas Tech against Houston. Houston, of course, the short shot, or I should say the favorite to win this tournament at minus 135. Houston's 8.5-point favorites against Texas Tech today. Texas Tech was 20-1 pre-flop to win the Big 12 tournament. Baylor and Iowa State in the other semi. Iowa State a 1.5-point favorite. Big West, which is out here at the Dollar Loan Center Arena. Long Beach State, 11-1 pre-flop to win this tournament against UC Irvine. The Fighting Jason Weingartens, 6.5-point favorites in this game. They were the favorite to win the Big West, remain so. They were minus 200 before this tournament even started. Hawaii, a 1.5-point favorite against UC Davis in the other semi.
I'm seeing Irvine all the way out to 8.
Conference USA, UTEP and Sam Houston today. Sam Houston, a 4.5-point favorite. And Middle Tennessee, 65-1 pre-flop to win this tournament. 5.5-point dogs against Western Kentucky. Metro Atlantic semis today. St. Peter's and Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac, 1.5-point favorites in that ballgame. And Marist, plus 550 pre-flop to win this tournament versus Fairfield. The reason I bring up Marist is because this is a very chalky tournament. Marist is the longest shot of the quartet in this group. Mac, Kent State, Bowling Green today. Kent State's a 2.5-point favorite. Bowling Green was 14-1 before this tournament started. Ohio Akron, the other semi. Akron, 2.5-point favorites. They were the short shot, plus 155 to win this. Again, Dallin Cuff, Chris Felica, Ben Wilson with all their thoughts and ATS plays on these later on the show. But just want to set up all the games. MEAC, historically black colleges. Howard, the Bison. 2.5-point dogs against Norfolk State today. Norfolk State was the plus 180 short shot to win this tournament. Delaware State, a 10-1 pre-flopper in this tournament. 3.5-point dogs against NC Central in the other ballgame. Mountain West, near and dear to so many here at the network. San Diego State, 3.5-point favorites against Utah State. San Diego State was the plus 260 short shot to win this tournament. The other one, Colorado State. This is also a chalky semifinals. Colorado State plus 750, the longest shot left of the Mountain West semis. They're going up against New Mexico. Lunardi has New Mexico as a last four out. They are 2.5-point favorites against Colorado State today. So New Mexico making their case. Pac-12 semis. As I said, RIP USC for those who had long shot tickets on USC. Oregon against Arizona today. Arizona 11.5-point favorites. They're maybe the biggest favorite on the board all through college hoops today. They were minus 160. The Wildcats were to win this tournament the favorite. Oregon was 10-1 pre-flop. Again, Arizona 11.5-point favorites. And then Colorado, one of Joe Lunardi's last four in at the moment. Colorado 1.5-point favorite against Washington State in the other semi. SEC is in the quarters. Mississippi State, the 65-1 Mississippi State squad pre-flop in this tournament against Tennessee. Dalton Connect in Tennessee, who are 10.5-point favorites. Tennessee, of course, the plus 130 short shot to win the SEC tourney. South Carolina, 60-1 pre-flop against Auburn. Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers, 7.5-point favorites in this one. Texas A&M, a last four in from Joe Lunardi. This is a lot of bubble, a lot of bubble implications today. Texas A&M, 5.5-point dogs against Kentucky. And Florida, who we also had a lot of folks talk about as a long shot, to Mike Somich all over Florida to win the SEC tournament and beyond. They're 3.5-point dogs against Alabama in the final of the quarters. And then the last two conferences, the SWAC, Bethune-Cookman 20-1 dogs to win this tournament pre-flop. 2.5-point dogs against Grambling, Alabama A&M 60-1 pre-flop in this tournament. 4.5-point dogs against Texas Southern. And then in the whack, Seattle and Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon was the pre-flop favorite to win the whack at minus 145. They're 4.5-point favorites against Seattle today. And Texas Arlington, Kelly, 1.5-point favorites against Tarleton State. Remember, with Tarleton State, as we talked about.
State of Texas.
We did mention that as well in a trivia question that you asked me. Nailed it, by the way. Tarleton State, the one team here still alive today in the respective tournaments that cannot go to the big dance, ineligible because of transferring up to D1
The
NCAA's ridiculous 45-year rule where you have to wait. I believe it's four.
I still don't get the reasoning behind the rule.
There is no reason.
I would really like an explanation of that, because like, if you get promoted, you shouldn't you have the rights of every other team that you're promoted amongst?
No, apparently you need 4 years to really acclimate.
It's like the Premier League when they promote teams and relegate teams. Then it's like, well, you get promoted, but like, hey, you can't win at this.
That was the big thing we were talking about. Wagner, of all the long shots that have already advanced to the big dance, Wagner so far, a 20-1 shot, was the longest in the Northeast. Remember, they beat Merrimack. Merrimack was the team that would have gone last year, but because of the transfer, couldn't. So Merrimack was on the cusp of doing it. Their hearts broke.
Especially like schools like that, right? Like, I mean, like, the fan bases would be going nuts at the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament.
Anyway, that's the day in college basketball game. We will have Ben Wilson, Dallin Cuff, and Chris Velika chiming in on this. We'll do the formula in a minute. All those implications, though, not just the ATS, but for those who have long shot plays, but really the last four in, the last four out, and the next four out, this thing is super unsettled heading into Selection Sunday, at least at this moment, with bids being stolen already and maybe still to come. Coming back, championship formula next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get an early start on your college hoops tournament betting with VSiN's full court bracket betting coverage this Sunday. We'll have a full show dedicated to opening lines for every game, and you have full access to the show, the betting splits, and picks with VSiN's free access through Sunday. Just register at VSiN.com/champweek. The VSiN college hoops experts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Tim Murray, they're going to analyze every game, discuss with the bookmakers making the lines to find the best early value. Don't wait for the lines to move. Start your bracket and tournament betting with VSiN's Betting the Bracket Show this Sunday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. We will have Monday morning Michael Montesano going through every bracket in every region. All the implications Monday morning here on a numbers game. And then Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and I going to do the Megapod. Nothing but college hoops wall to wall, starting with the Betting the Bracket Show Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here at VSiN. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Before we get to the championship formula, let's update some other sports. Golf, Kelly. The Players' Championship, golf's de facto fifth major, the PGA Tour's major, if you will, over there at TPC Sawgrass. We had a three-way tie at the end of round one. Xander Schauffele, who you have many a bet on, Rory McIlroy, and Wyndham Clark were at 7-under through the first round.
Yeah, Wyndham Clark with a heck of a finish yesterday.
And Wyndham Clark,
good start today.
Wyndham Clark is in the lead solo right now. He's 1-under through four, so he's at 8-under. But don't look in your rearview mirror, because what you see is Scottie Scheffler, everybody, who finished two strokes behind the lead yesterday with a 5-under round of 18. He's already 2-under through five, so he is among the group at 7-under. So Wyndham Clark at 8-under leading four different golfers at 7-under. Matty Schmid, Scottie Scheffler, and then both Xander and Rory yet to tee off today.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to talk to Jason later. I wonder if he's got a very, very long price on Matty Schmid, who I know he bet last week. If he went back to the well, he might have a long bomb number on him.
Scottie Scheffler trying to go back-to-back. The looming specter of Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back on the tour and back-to-back at the Players, which has never been done before.
I meant the Players part, but you're right. Back-to-back on tour as well. The Players, as we talked about when Kelly did his nice breakdown of this tournament earlier this week, when you talked about predictive golf modeling, the Masters, the Augusta, that course is the most predictive from year to year and beyond, and this one here is the least so because of all the water.
Yeah, at least one of the least. I probably should have clarified that, but I'm sure, Bermuda and some of the other island courses and stuff like that where it's really crazy are pretty wild too. But yes, one of the least, so could be in for a wild next couple days. Long Shots crew will be doing a special podcast after the cut today. We'll be recording that after play wraps up round two. So check out that if you're looking for some golf bets for the weekend after the cut today.
It's called Long Shots. Tennis, speaking of fifth majors, in quotes, Indian Wells. Yesterday we split our two bets, hit on Kostyuk, lost on Navarro. Kostyuk was straights. Navarro lost in three. Good on Maria Sakkari, though. Like, tip of the cap to her. So we lose a little juice, anywhere between 20 cents to 27 cents juice on that match, depending on where you got it. Emma Navarro just couldn't get to the finish line. Sakkari is one of these players who just, she defies the numbers in a way that she rarely gets upset early in tournaments. And in this one, she's gotten all the way to the semi. So what you have now is a situation where you have the semis on the ladies' side today. You have the semis on the men's side tomorrow. Let me just start with the men tomorrow. I don't have a bet today in the semis on the ladies' side. I don't even know that I'll have one on the men's side tomorrow. It's just the lines are where they should be, and some days we're not going to have any bets. That's just how it works. That's where the numbers lead us. Today, Kostyuk versus Swiatek, the number one seed, and of course we have the futures on Swiatek. Swiatek, a prohibitive -1250 favorite. She won by withdrawal of Caroline Wozniacki yesterday with a toe injury. So Swiatek got through after winning the first set and was up 1-0 in the second set. So Swiatek, big favorite over Kostyuk today. And then Coco Gauff, a -263 favorite over the aforementioned Maria Sakkari. And that's about where it should be, quite frankly.
How real is this Wozniacki comeback? I mean, a little
pretty
bit.
Real.
Yeah,
pretty real.
I mean, her odds have been kind of just getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
I mean, real to the extent that she's a really solid player. She's not exactly threatening the top 10 or anything at this point.
Okay.
And then the men's side tomorrow. I mean, this would have, had Djokovic won his quarter, and he didn't come close, this would have been the dream semis they wanted. Instead, what you have is Medvedev against Tommy Paul, who takes Djokovic's quarter. Medvedev -278 favorite tomorrow. And then in the other one, Carlitos, a dog against Jannik Sinner. And quite frankly, he probably should be. Sinner -145. I won't commit to not playing that Alcaraz Sinner match, but right now there isn't a play in anything. I'll have to look a little closer. Sinner -145 favorite. In case you missed it yesterday, the Alcaraz Sasha Zverev match was delayed 2 hours after the first two games were played because of a bee infestation on the court. Did you see this?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I didn't even believe the video. I got to get the name. Someone tweeted it at us. I was like, what year is this from? Like, is this today?
It was incredible. You know, at first, like, he's going to serve, and it's just like one wave, and the second wave, and then all of a sudden, he's going nuts. The bees attacked the umpire, too. I mean, it's no joke. They brought in this dude, a beekeeper, who looked like he played with Aerosmith or some rock band in the 70s,
I didn't see any of the fallout. So I saw the initial. I mean, what happened? It looked like someone, they had that camera or whatever up top.
The camera was the place where all the bees swarmed.
They were all swarming there. Yeah. So what, did someone like come out and dump like a 2 liter of soda all over that thing or something?
I am not savvy enough in bee migration. You know,
I mean, those were like hundreds of bees that were swarming that thing.
Oh, dude, it was
perhaps thousands. I have no idea.
Perhaps thousands. Anyway, this dude was playing in the camera.
Yeah, you got to tell me. Walk me through this.
He works at a place called Killer Bees. Is the name of his company?
Of course, yeah.
He was playing to the camera. He was like a rock star. People were taking selfies with him. He was dapping up Carlitos and Sasha. It was amazing. Anyway,
because they postponed the match
for 2 hours, and then Carlitos came back and destroyed him.
Man, that is crazy.
They've seen everything in that tournament.
And like, was it fine? Did the bee guy do a good job?
He did a great job.
They were all good after that?
The bees were dispersed. On to their next.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
You might need a falcon out there. That's what I would suggest.
You should have got
a falcon or two. Indian Wells, step up.
I don't know
if
that's the same thing.
I don't know. Me either. I'd be scared, though, if I was a bee.
If only we had a falconer. No, it's bees. All right. Championship formula. We said we weren't going to do this till Monday, but I think Kelly's right. We need a Friday update on this. Again, tried and true, here are the criteria. Last 33 champs had more assists than turnovers. That's easy enough. 31 of the last 33, this is the only one with two exceptions, had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience, both UConn coaches. 2014, Kevin Ollie, when UConn won the title then, and last year, Danny Hurley for UConn. had never, of course, got to a Sweet 16 before. 27 of the last 28 champs went into the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. The only exception, 2014 UConn Huskies. They're a theme. That team bucked everything. That team was the kryptonite to this formula. Last 28 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. 20 of the last 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency. Guess who the exception was? 2014 UConn Huskies, who finished 39th that year in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. And then 20 of the last 21 were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. The only non-UConn exception to this whole thing, Baylor, a sneaky 22nd just outside in adjusted defensive efficiency back in 2021 when they won the title. All right, so the reason we do this formula once again is because with all the madness that happens in rounds 1 and 2 and maybe even to the Sweet 16, picking an ultimate champion actually, not that difficult when you apply it to a formula like this. However, this year, it's threatening to have the most teams qualify. And so even this formula is producing a bit of mayhem in terms of your futures thoughts, because six teams now qualify. Kelly, we're back to six. Houston, UConn, Arizona. By the way, UConn just keeps getting better and better in these two. Like, UConn is second in adjusted offensive efficiency and 10th in adjusted defensive
efficiency. Yeah, that's pretty sick. Like,
all these teams. Houston is 14th and 1st, respectively. UConn, 2nd and 10th. Arizona, 7th offense, 12th defense adjusted defensive efficiency. Auburn, 10th and 7th. Marquette, 18th and 19th. They qualify. And Purdue, you're in, Boilermakers, 1st and 20th. On the outside, looking in for so many of these talks, now they're on the inside. Six teams. On the outside, looking in, Kelly, there are four teams. You know who the closest is now?
Who you got?
The North Carolina Tar Heels.
Okay.
Hubert Davis's UNC Tar Heels, 22nd in adjusted offensive efficiency, 5th in adjusted defense. Tennessee remains 25th and 3rd, respectively. Creighton, 12th and 23rd. And Duke, although John Shire's never been to a Sweet 16, so that's already a disqualifier, although he would try to be like Kevin Ollie and Danny Hurley, if you will. Duke is 8th and 24th in terms of Ken Palm's adjusted offense and defense. So Houston, UConn, Arizona, Auburn, Marquette, Purdue qualifying. Carolina, Tennessee, Creighton, Duke on the outside looking in.
Creighton with a loss yesterday, right?
Yeah, bad one too. Bad loss. That's the thing. That's what I was saying, like, last segment. I was like, how many of these teams, you know, Creighton lost, Duke lost. How many of these teams can you really trust?
Yeah.
Ultimately. And I think most people would say, just like I did, that UConn is number one. And I think if you were forced to pick a two, people would say Houston.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if you asked them a third,
yeah,
that would produce
a lot of different answers, probably.
Five different answers. Yeah. Which, by the way, maybe I should ask that of our guest today. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do just that. We're going to talk some NFL draft as well on the show today. Kelly's got to play. A lot of NFL implications from yesterday. How about some Felica next? College hoops, soccer, horse racing. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? What the heck are you waiting for? Create a free account today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through the NCAA Championship Week. That is this week. Leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/champweek and get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's this Selection Sunday, 2 days from now. That's VSIN.com/champweek. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billen, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. He is the host of the Bear Bets podcast. He plies his trade over at Fox Sports, and I know for a fact he has a Wyndham Clark to win this tournament as a 45 or 50-to-1 long shot. Good on him right now with Clark leading the tournament. It's Chris Felica, everybody, the Bear. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Good seeing you and Chrissy last night for dinner. So I'm still full from the Italian barrage that we had there last night. Yeah, no, Wyndham Clark off to a good start, so he gives us hopefully a nice little weekend sweat in addition to hopefully the horse racing tournament that gets underway at the Horseshoe today.
Yeah, it's by the way, Chris comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It was a it was an Italian barcanada is what it was, not an Italian barrage. I just want to make that clear. All right, let's start with this. Since you bring up the horsies, can I call them horsies? You're here for the national horse racing contest, and it begins today. Does it is it about to start? Is that what happens?
Well, yeah, yesterday was what they call the first chance, last chance tournaments. Basically, if you had not qualified for this year, it was your last opportunity to win a seat into the competition for this weekend. If you had already qualified, it was an opportunity to get a qualified for next year already. So I figured I may as well take a shot at that. Didn't happen. I had six horses run second at 6-1 or better. So it was one of those days with some fluky results. But no, but you know what? I'm happy to get those type of beats out of the way yesterday. Because
is that how that works? Yes.
Yeah. You get the fluky results out of the way. You get the cap horses out of the way. And now today begins the three-day competition. Today and tomorrow are the first 2 days after Saturday. The top 10% advance Sunday. And those people are guaranteed getting paid. Paid out. I think they closed at 715 people or something like that. So that like the top 71 will advance after Saturday. So
yes,
mythical $2 one place bet on a horse and best bankroll bid.
Watch out for that Somich kid. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I ran into Mike yesterday. So yeah, he's in it as well. So yeah, hopefully he had a good day at hoops as well. I know we did the day before, so I have to check in with them when I get over there.
Okay, so let me just clarify this. Are you able to give a horse play? Is that what it did? Horse play or two here, or is that going to lose some competitive advantage?
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be competitive disadvantage. I'll be honest with you. I literally have a sheet of paper like this with a whole bunch of things written in on it.
Okay.
So like I couldn't even pick. One that in particular was great. So it's one of those things, like once you get in the room, you kind of got to notice names on the leaderboard and who may be there and who not. And you're like, okay, they're there. So they're off to a good start. They called a long shot. And you just kind of know the way people treat it as like an ROI competition. Right. As opposed to necessarily picking winners.
Before we go to soccer and in college hoops, Kelly was wondering earlier, can he enter the room just as a spectator?
And yeah, would it even be false?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
You used to be able to bring people in, but just because of seating and keeping it tight, you might be able to look online. I mean, they do post a lot of video clips and such. But used to be in old Bally's area with the sport used to be on the incline. You used to be able to get in there. And look, but yeah, now the way the seating is in the ballroom at the convention here with space being limited, yeah, unfortunately you can't get in and watch. But I'll tell you what, that rush in the room when there's a long shot coming home and the favorite might be vulnerable, it's pretty cool to see. So hopefully I get off to a good start today and we'll have good news to update over the weekend.
Chris, all I'm saying is you're a busy man. You clearly need an assistant. They should understand that.
Yes.
I'm happy to be there, you know, being Adam Schefter handling phones or anything we got to do. You know, I'm happy to help out. That's all I'm saying.
Kelly, it will be great. You can run the hoops bets today. I could take care of the horses. You can go grab me
there
a slice of pizza. Perfect. Just come hang out.
There is nothing more entertaining than watching Chris Felica betting on a horse.
I would love to check this out.
The stretch. It is hilarious.
I would love to check this out.
Yeah.
I also believe you, though, Gil, that after probably 37 minutes, I'd be like, all right, I'm tired.
That's
of this.
Good. All right, soccer, what do you got for us?
Well, I saw the Champions League and the Europa League draws were today, and the only reason I know, I know Liverpool drew Atlanta, and they should be able to take care of them in the quarterfinal. So Man City drew Real Madrid, which if you have a Real, if you have a City future, that's probably the one team that's left that could beat them. So like I was talking about last week, it's probably a good time to get on a City future still. But when they post Europa League odds to win again, I don't see anybody left that's going to be able to beat Liverpool and at least keep them from getting to the final. The way they're getting healthy now, they'll be a considerable favorite against Atlanta in the quarterfinals. So just with two rounds to get, like whatever Liverpool is to win Europa League, it'll probably be pretty short. Again, that'll be a ticket you'd want to have. And then for a match today, I think it's at 1 o'clock Pacific. You have your Dion Pari. Like I'm going to go with Cadiz, Cadiz. And as you know, it's not pronounced Cadiz.
Yeah.
That's not pronounced Cadiz. It's Cadiz. The way you pronounce it. Playing Cadiz. They play Real Sociedad. Cadiz is right on the relegation line. 14 road matches this year. They've scored 7 goals. Soch is one of the better defensive teams in the league. They kind of struggle lately. They're right on one of those European positions. So I played Cadiz under a half goal throughout this 1 year. So you can play Soch to win 2-0 as well if you're looking for a little shorter price. But Cadiz, the under a half a goal, is what I like today in soccer.
I love that he goes Cadiz, but with Real Sociedad, he goes Soch. I love that. Soch. Okay. College hoops. What a day. What a week it is. What do you like today?
Well, as you know, last night I had to walk out and do a radio interview, so I apologize for that. And kicking around. I'm such a rude guest and a rude
fan. Yeah.
It kept me for 2 seconds, but that's okay. Landed on three things today. North Carolina -7.5. I think you look at Pitt, they're a perimeter-oriented team, and UNC with one of the better perimeter defenses in the country. With Duke out of the way now, it's kind of a clear path for the Tar Heels to win this ACC tournament. So UNC -7.5. You can actually get a better number. I'm going to go Gil Davis on you right now. You can actually get a better number on Western now than you could last night. I like Pats +4 against Wisconsin. They lost a semi-competitive game earlier this year against the Badgers. And Wisconsin yesterday, that was kind of a perfect storm. You had a Maryland team that was ready basically end the season with the way they've been playing.
Nice of them to show.
Wisconsin, that was shot ungodly from three-point range. That probably won't happen again. So I like Northwestern +4. And then I like Michigan State +4 in the first half against Purdue. We saw teams like UConn even come out yesterday, kind of sleepwalk through the first half a little bit. One of the earlier starts today, you had Michigan State play yesterday. They played a good second half to get past Minnesota. They're going to be in the tournament, but you wonder if Purdue might kind of come out and sleepwalk a little bit and get a slow start early on in that gym with Michigan State already having a game under their leg. So took Spartans +4 in the first half as well.
I like what you said about BYU last night. I know it's a random thought, but we had this conversation last night. BYU losing in typical BYU fashion. They fall behind, they make a run, they fall behind again. By the way, when they're up, they also let the other team make a run.
Yes.
But you actually think for a team like that, losing and losing some seeding in the big dance ain't a bad thing.
No, it's not. You if you're on that like 4 or 5 line, which is probably around where they were, you'd much rather be on that 6 or 7 line to avoid necessarily playing one of the one seeds in that second round or in the Sweet 16. So I think maybe BYU losing, getting that bad shooting performance out of the way might help them in seeding, just like it might help a team like Gonzaga. Like, I mean, we've seen some seeding, maybe they were around a 9 seed or so. Gonzaga, if they could fall to a 10 or an 11 seed, that might be beneficial to them as well to kind of avoid that top side of the regional come tournament time. So much rather play be on that 2-3 side on the bottom, I think, especially this year with some of the teams that you're looking at potentially being those 2 or 3 seeds.
All right, Chris, good luck with the horses today. May you and Samich both cash.
Let's go.
Let's go. Chris Felica, everybody, at Chris Felica, FALLICA on Twitter. Bear Bets Pod over there at Fox Sports. Thank you, sir, as always.
Take care, guys.
We'll come back. NFL draft props, rather. Kelly made a bet. We got some to we got a bunch to go through. Let's do that on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game, period. So great. Game Time Jones. Talking about retrospective on the timeline of Thursday from 4 years ago during COVID.
when the sports world shut down. Game Time Jones, one of my fondest memories of the day. Things started going haywire March 11th, the day before. The talk about the Wednesday of that week was that the Kings were hosting the Pelicans. I work a little south of Sacramento with a bunch of Kings fans, and it was the first time Kings primetime TV game in years. First time they had one in years. Yeah. Sure enough, it was canceled.
Yeah.
Primetime. I'm sorry. Gil, as much as it pains me, I have to agree with Kirk Cousins' biggest fanboy, Todd Wishnev. Worst invention ever? People. However, without the worst invention ever, we would lack appreciation for mankind's best invention ever, yoga pants. That's a man who knows the show. New York Mets 16. How busy will Matt Holt be if Temple wins the conference championship at 500-1? Oh, I think he'll be the opposite of busy. I think they'll undo the busyness.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Roger Jones. Guys, the NHC, talking about the horse contest, the horse challenge, is absolutely amazing for horse players and the all-time routes you will see when it gets close to cut time. Absolutely, I can imagine that. And again, watching Felica watch a horse that he's on is spectacular.
Yeah, see, now that I've learned that it's even more selective in private, it makes me want to go even more.
James Moran, somebody smarter than me once explained the reason the teams have to sit out more all those years to deter them from moving back and forth from D1 to D2. So the thought is if they come back up to D1, they're going to have to sit out when they go back to D2.
What tells the upside of going back to D2?
Well, if they find out they're really overmatched, I guess there would be that possibility. But
isn't there financial incentives?
4 years, though? Even still, 4 years. Come on. Brian M., I brought up Mary Mac from last year. Yeah. He goes, it's more meh, Remac. Buddhist man. Question two for our Royals correspondent, Jason Weingarten, from yesterday. Where's Dr. Bob as these conference tournaments make the turn for home? What'd you say? Dr. Bob's like been a hard get lately?
I don't know where Bob's at.
Maybe we'll have him on next week before the big dance.
Maybe we'll have him on Monday.
Yeah, Brian Schaefer. I cashed my B-talk on a numbers game at 100-1. Yes, you did. And then Brooklyn Mutt. It's called long shots. Kills me every time, he says. Oh, New York Mets also wanted to ask, is there a list of the mandatory races that the NHC is wagering on so we, the general public, can follow along and see who we would land on? We'll ask Felica. We'll get back.
That's a great question.
Yeah, great question. Or more tweets. Actually, we'll get to.
Hopefully Chris responds to him so I can pull up that list, too. Yeah. I would like to track that as well.
We'll get some more tweets later. Football. It's always fun to talk football. Yesterday, by the way, free agency, the biggest moves, and really with trades, Keenan Allen. As they clean a little house there in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Yep. Keenan Allen to the Bears for a fourth. Commanders traded Sam Howell to the Seahawks. And then a day after signing Kirk Cousins as the team's starting quarterback, Falcons sent Desmond Ridder to Arizona for Rondale Moore.
Isn't it? That trade's just hard not to laugh at.
It makes me smile. Just makes me smile. Desmond Ridder, enjoy Arizona.
And like Rondale Moore, who like we thought there was a lot of upside to, never really put it together. Yeah, he had his moments, never really put it together. It's hard not to snicker at that one.
You made a bet based on one of these.
I did. I did grab. This was getting steamed big time yesterday, and we had. We did have a shop in town. Finally opened up some more draft prop stations. Has had some up. We did have Caesars in town. I think it was within the past couple days they posted some stuff. And so I grabbed a bit of Malik Nabers to go fifth overall with the Chargers sending all their wide receivers out. It's obviously a position of need. Didn't go strong on it. I missed the best in number. I think it was like 4-1 yesterday before around in that range before he got moved. Was talking with Matt Brown about some golf and that. We were watching the trades go through and He was like, man, I wish there was some place in town to bet this. And I'm like, well, I haven't checked in a while. And I'm this is up at Caesars.
So then you're thinking QB, 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 wide out.
Yes. I mean, I have,
you can almost name the five, right? So Caleb, whoever you think, I guess Jaden Daniels would be the favorite.
I don't really care who goes one, but two, three, as long as they're three quarterbacks.
Marvin Harrison four, and then Malik Nabers five.
Yeah, the bets I've made so far, and I got a couple. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, because that was the market that was open that I could bet. So not fourth overall, but to the Cardinals specifically at -170. Bet that. So that would be him four. And then you got the Malik Nabers five. I grabbed that at +225 last night. It is down to like +175. So there's been some significant movement in that market. And then, was just checking around town here. And there was an adjustment on the quarterback's props at one of the shops.
Random thought. Is Aaron Rodgers playing football while being a vice presidential candidate? Is that what's going to happen if he's a VP?
Sure, you can do both, right?
I mean,
how hard could it be?
What's that?
I said, how hard could it be?
Don't you have to be on a stage at some point and like put your hand up and you're just,
I think I've read all of two tweets about that and that was it. I'm like, I'm not reading any further on this.
We got some other props in terms of just position by position over unders.
Yeah, Station's doing a great job putting these up early. I think these were up like a week ago.
QBs set at 4.5, first round now we're talking. Quarterbacks set at 4.5 with the over juiced at -145, obviously. As we just talked about, presumptive quarterback at the top, Williams, May, and Daniels in whatever order. Williams presumed to be number one. And then, obviously, the other candidates being the fast moving up the charts, if you will, J.J. McCarthy. And there's Penix and Knicks also. But 4.5, the over slightly juiced at -145. Let me just do a brief Daniel, Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, their most recent mock drafts. They each have 4. Now, Kiper was late January, Jeremiah was early February, so when they last mocked, they had 4 quarterbacks going.
Okay.
So, the unders and plus money there.
This is the JVT prop. This is the one he, like, bangs his fist on the table every year of, like, there's under 4.5, give me 4 quarterbacks every year. He goes crazy.
He goes under this one.
Yeah, he goes under every year, whatever the quarterback
I mean, really, first of all, like, the J.J. McCarthy love is just getting out of control. I mean, I just ask people, did y'all watch, I know he won a national championship, but did y'all watch college football? Like, when did the J.J. McCarthy just love go out of control? Penix is hurt, right?
Okay, so real quick, I hear you on McCarthy, and I agree with you from everything that I've seen, right? But
he'll be a first rounder.
But he's going to be a first rounder, right? He's going to be a first rounder.
That's right. But I'm just talking about the fact that, like, what is he, like 5.5 or 6.5 is his number now in the draft?
It's 6.5.
It's
6.5, yep, draft position, yep.
So Penix is often hurt. Will someone draft him in the first round? And then Nix, did you ever look at Bo Nix and say to yourself, well, now there's a first round quarterback? Some people might have.
Not at all, but like you know, the whole talent evaluators and team stuff seem to be much higher on Bo Nix than I would have ever guessed. I would think Michael Penix goes before him, but
yeah.
I can't get on. Like, you watch Penix play last year and you're telling me that guy.
Dude, Penix's arm is fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. But he's hurt all the time.
But he's hurt.
And he's 37 years old.
Roughly
as well.
30. Yeah. He's my age. Yeah.
24. I know. 24. Wide receivers set at 6.5. The under is juiced at -220. Again, going back to both Kiper and Jeremiah's most recent mock drafts. Kiper in late January, Jeremiah early February. They each had 6 going. 6.
I thought this was what the number of the books were going to be forced to post. Because if it was 6, you'd only be betting the over. And at 6.5 with this pricing, it's tough to make a bet.
It's tough to make a bet. -220 on the under is too pricey.
Yeah. I'd still only go over.
Well, you'd take a shot at the over. Yeah. +175. Offensive lineman is set at 9.5. The under is juiced at -160.
I think it was Field Yates I heard talking the other day saying he had like 22 offensive linemen projected in his top 50 picks.
So this is 9.5 with the under juiced at -160. Jeremiah had 10 going.
Okay.
Kiper had 9 going. So right on that number.
Yeah. The other prop that I saw up here in town that I almost bet yesterday is over 20.5 offensive players drafted.
I mean, if that many draft, offensive linemen at wideouts.
At plus money.
Yeah.
Because I kind of lean over on the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and offense.
Well, here's the fly in that ointment is corners. There's a lot of corners that are expected to go.
Right.
Cornerbacks. Yes. 5.5 is where this is set. Yes, the under is juiced at -200. But again, back to Jeremiah and Kiper. Jeremiah had 5 corners going, and Kiper had 6. So
really?
Again, right on this number. Yeah. The only place that they, like, I'm trying to think, like, had Brock Bowers, the only tight end. They each had, you know, the one defensive tackle. The only difference was that
I was just going to say like the other positions.
Jeremiah went 5 edge, Kiper went 3 edge,
okay,
and Kiper made it up with 2 linebackers. That was the only real significant difference.
Okay, I'm just doing the math for my over offensive.
That
players.
Comes up, yeah. So yeah. So what does it come to offense? 920 for Kiper, and 21 for Jeremiah. What was your number?
It's 20.5.
I'm telling you, man. This is what all this is based on. Where were these available, by the way?
We had in town Stations and Caesars.
Stations, okay. Yeah. Good job, Stations. There you go, Stations and Caesars. Dan Le Batard is next on the DK Network. We're coming back with Dallin Cuff on College Hoops next. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.